Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move among us, that you would open us up to the hearing of your word and the living of your word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
It's been a wild week. I know it has been for a lot of people. I just want to tell you about a little bit about mine, not because I want to go, ooh, he had a bad week. There are people in the week I want you to pray for. My week pales in comparison to Father Chris's week. You need to pray for him later and lay hands on him. But our son-in-law, Joe, who lives in Charlotte, has bladder cancer, and they were going to do the procedure this week to remove the tumors. And Belinda was going to go down and stay with the 15-month-old baby while they did this. Well, Belinda had been taking care of her mother, who had a sinus infection. And about midweek, Belinda comes up with a sinus infection. She can't go down and keep the baby. So, me, I drive to Charlotte and do the best job I can. I mean, I raised five girls, kind of. You know, I wasn't there that much. So, took care of her, sort of. She lived. You know, she was alive, and I gave her back to her mother. They came home, everything was fine. And then they said, well, you can go ahead and go home. So, drive back, and I'd been home about an hour, and the phone rang. He said he's doubled over in pain, he's throwing up, he's having all kinds of problems. I said, honey, you got to take him to the emergency room. Well, what do we do? You know, they can't take the baby to the emergency room, so they have to call a neighbor. And I said, I'm on my way. So this time I take my other patient, Belinda, and put her in the car and drive her down to my hospital, where I put her in a room upstairs and get the baby away from her, which was really, I'm sure, difficult for her. But anyway, he's back home now. He's doing much better, but still remember him in your prayers. And Belinda is still laid low and not back to work yet. So remember her in your prayers, and occasionally remember me trying to keep my sanity in it all. Yes. Now, when I preached 3 weeks ago on Luke 12:49, I know none of you are going to remember, but it was when Jesus said, I don't think I've come to bring peace on earth. I've come to bring division. And I joked about Father Bill passing on the bad lessons. And, you know, and today, you know, you look at the tough text, where Jesus tells us to hate our mothers and fathers and children. And, oh, happy days. Actually, these are all great texts. And I was just teasing, and still am just teasing. They're all difficult. They're all challenging. If you remember anything about that, I talked about the great division, the clash of two kingdoms. And you have to choose one kingdom or the other. It sounds a lot like Old Testament reading today. You know, I lay before you life, death. Well, that's a pretty easy one for most people. Blessing, curse. I'll take the blessing. And so we choose which kingdom we're in. We choose which king we're going to follow. And in a lot of that, you know, Jesus does say some harsh things, or they sound harsh. It's hyperbole. It's to show that how much you are to love. Now, I saw a cartoon once where this guy was standing in shredded paper up to about his knees, and he's got his Bible in his hand and some scissors. And his friend says, what are you doing? He said, I'm cutting out of my Bible every verse that I find to be too challenging. And he said, well, what'd you end up with? He said, a leather cover with a gold embossed name on it. They are all challenging. God's word always challenges us to move beyond where we are and to move beyond who we are, to be what he created us to be. And as we've told you before, at least once, it is a relationship. I know. Now I can sit down. And Jesus demands in this relationship that he be what number?
One.
Number one. They should make those little foam fingers with Jesus on them. It's, they got a bunch of them over in Tennessee that are useless. They don't have enough fingers for that one. Yeah. We're number 80. We're in a go. I'm sorry.
Which finger?
Buddy? Yeah. Yeah, you can't use that in church.
I'm glad you get back up on the drums.
In our gospel lesson today, though, Jesus tells you, you know, that there's a decision to be made. There are the two kingdoms. And he tells you, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross and go. But before you do, count the cost. Count the cost. Not the cost of your salvation. That's free. That's a gift from God. That's grace. But what will it cost you personally to follow Jesus Christ? For which of you, desiring to build a tower, and I am reading from the English Standard Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Now, I've been around building a lot in my life. My grandfather was a carpenter. And I've poured foundations and done things like that. And I know we all know what a foundation is. You know, it's what the house or their building's going to sit on. And I want to take this imagery that Jesus used in building this tower and do a little comparison. I know we're not, you know, if you're a writer, you're never, ever supposed to mix your metaphors. But I'll have about three of them running parallel here. So I invite you to try to keep up. If it gets too confusing, just raise your hand and straighten me out. But each one of us is building a tower of discipleship. We're building a tower of discipleship. And as Jesus said, you begin with laying the foundation. And so I want to ask you, do you remember what it was like when you first met Jesus? When you first allowed Jesus into your life, into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Now, not everybody does remember, but if you do, wasn't it a great moment? It's a fantastic moment. And it may not have been anything dramatic, you know, angels or anything like that. It may have been very quiet. It may have been simple. Or it may have been a Damascus Road type experience. But it's where we all began. That's the foundation level, the first floor, where we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, is that you're going to be my Lord and Savior. Wow, I'm going to be your follower. I'm going to be your disciple. And everybody has a testimony. Everybody's just a little different. Some are phenomenally dramatic and others are not. But we joined into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Our sins were washed away and we were created new. And the thing I remember most about that, I mean, I remember God's amazing love for me, yes, but I remember at that time how much I loved Jesus. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. I was just so, so in love. You don't have to be married to have fallen in love. All of us have been there. We know that feeling. Ah, whether it's requited or not, we know what it feels like to feel in love. You can't get enough of them. And there are thousands of Christians who experience this and never move beyond it. It's like entry-level Christianity. They come in and they're on the first floor there with the foundation, and they never build on it for myriad reasons. Some of them came in because it was an eternal fire insurance plan. You know, like you're at a revival, and he's preaching, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. So, well, I better do that. There are others who came in with the best of intentions. They love Jesus. And you know that first time love that you have? I remember when I first fell in love with Belinda. Back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And I couldn't wait to see her, couldn't wait to talk to her. You know that feeling? You just want to be around her all the time. We didn't stay there. Nobody stays there. You have to move beyond that. The people that stay there, their relationship's doomed. Because you can't maintain that. It doesn't. Now, there are glimpses of it now and then, and you thank God when they come, but it's a deeper love that you move toward. And I remember visiting John Overby. And John and I raised that issue once, like, why can we not recapture the love that we felt when we first knew Jesus? Why can't we feel like that all the time? And we spent a couple of weeks discussing that, you know, coming and going. And then we came to the realization that that really wasn't what we wanted. You want something far more intimate than that feeling. It's the same in, you know, your relationships with others that you love. You can't maintain the emotional fervor. You move on to something deeper called intimacy. Amen. It's knowing and being known. Yes. You have to move beyond the foundation. You've got to start laying some stones and getting up, building that tower up. Like I said, when I fell in love with Belinda, I wanted to know everything about her. And I wanted her to know all the good stuff about me, but not the other, you know? You know how that goes, yeah. You want to be known, but just for the good stuff, you know? But eventually it comes out. Eventually the bad stuff comes out, and hers comes out. And but you find out that's okay. You love each other anyway. As people always say, warts and all. Some worse than warts, but to be known and to know someone else. That's the relationship we're looking for in building this tower of discipleship. To know Jesus. To know Him. Not just who He is, but to know Him. And when I first met Jesus, I could not read enough scripture. I wanted to know Him. I couldn't read enough books about Him. I couldn't pray enough. I couldn't worship enough. Joined a Christian band and just looked for places to go for worship. Not because I wanted to play so much or sing, but because I wanted to be in worship. You could do that like 4 or 5 times a week sometimes. It was great. But to know Jesus is an important goal. It's important. It's ongoing. I know that I will never learn everything there is to know about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My goal in life is to die as a student of Christ. Carve that on my stone. Actually, I won't care. Carve anything you want. But how important is it to know Jesus? I mean, to know Him. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You sent. Sounds important. This is eternal life. To know, to be in that relationship. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, and I've always loved this passage. It's much better in Greek, but we'll do it in English. Paul wrote to them, he said, this is Philippians 3:8. He said, "What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ." The cool thing is the word's not really garbage, but that he considers them all as refuse, as nothing. It was okay to lose them because knowing Christ is everything. It's everything. Now here again, in building a tower, untold thousands of Christians get stuck on this level while they're building. And think about it for a moment. I want to know and I want to be known and I want this relationship and it's very selfish. If it's just me and Jesus, you know, for you, but it's me and Jesus, we got this great thing going. Your faith becomes for yourself. You become almost as important in your faith as Jesus does, or Jesus is, that you want to maintain that relationship. I'll spend the time in prayer. I'll spend the time in quiet meditation. And all of that is extremely important. And spending time in the Word is extremely important. But if you don't move beyond that, if you're stuck there, it's a sad tower, unfinished. We've got to move on beyond that. Then there is a third part of this tower, once you're going to build on, and you're never, ever going to finish it. You're never going to finish it. It's what the church calls sanctification. It's when you take all of this stuff that you know about Jesus and you begin to change your life to be like Jesus. Sanctification, that process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Have you ever noticed how married couples tend to, especially if they've been married for a long time, they start to act alike, and some of them start to even look alike, and they do the same things, and they like the same things, and all this. I was telling Belinda last night on the way home about what I was going to preach. I said, I want to tell them that I know that Jesus loves me and I know that You love me. And she said, so they haven't served you the papers yet. At which time I realized, Is that my brain in her body? Because that certainly sounded more like me than it did like her. Look, this family can only have one smart aleck. But apparently not. But, you know, you when you're married for a long time, and you see this in couples, they finish each other's sentences. They know what the other one's thinking. I can't tell you the number of times Belinda was looking at a catalog or something. She said, "Oh, this is beautiful, but you would hate it." I said, "What is it?" "Yeah, you're right. I hate it." They know each other because they have been changed by the relationship. We are changed in the relationship with Jesus Christ if we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us and to move us along to be more and more like Christ. It's like we switch brains. Now, the interesting thing, in marriage, we become more and more like each other. In my relationship with Christ, I guarantee you, Jesus is not becoming anything like me. That you can take to the bank. I'm striving to become more like Jesus, which is what I was created to be. More like Him. And we're all called to build that. Philippians 2:5. I like this translation better. Well-known passage, you'll know this. Let me back up to 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As we become more like Christ, we take on the very nature of a servant. We humble ourselves. We become obedient. We do all of the things that Jesus did. We are called to be like Christ. And the bishop always says, you know, like, what does God expect of you? Jesus. What's the expectation? Jesus. Now, we'll never get there. We're going to be building this tower till eternity. We'll never put the capstone on till we're in glory. But it's what we are to be committed to. It's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. What does it cost you? It costs you yourself. But in return, you get the real self you were created to be. Not the fake one that the world wants you to be. So I just want to leave us with a couple of questions to ponder. Where are you in this relationship with Jesus Christ? What floor are you on? I know we go up and down some. Sometimes I'm outside. I have to be called back in. Time to come in, David. But where are you in the tower? What are you building? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? How high is the tower? And Kaylee, I'm sorry, I don't do this ordinarily where I have a sermon illustration just for an individual. But as you're not yet married,
I was going to tell you to think of the Friends episode where Joey Tribbiani, who's on Days of Our Lives, is playing Dr. Drake Ramore and has a brain transplant. And they put the brain of a woman in him. Yeah. Think of it that way. The renewing of our minds. Have the mind of Christ.
You got that one too. Amanda got that one too, actually.
Okay.
Friends fans out there.
All right. Yes. I had a household, you know, you got five daughters, and Belinda all loved that show. And so, you know, you accidentally see some of it from time to time. Can't be helped. But for some reason, that popped into my head. I apologize to you. And if you all have seen that episode, yeah, it's like that. But I ask you, how high is your tower? Where are you in the relationship? Amen.